We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can watch Dr. Robert George's presentation at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. Conference registrants can watch live and on demand. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Coming up on Father's Day, in a political and social media atmosphere that denigrates fathers, that in some cases even says you don't need a father. Maybe you need him biologically just for the genetic material, but beyond that, he might be a bit of a liability. Well, how do you celebrate fathers when that's the atmosphere? Do fathers interact with their children in ways that mothers generally don't? What's the role of a father in academic success or forestalling delinquency, teenage pregnancy, depression for their children? What kind of family structure is most likely to foster fatherly involvement? We're going to be talking about the importance of fathers. Dr. Brad Wilcox joins us. He's professor of sociology at the University of Virginia. He's visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, senior fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, and author of several books, including his latest, Soulmates, Religion, Sex, Love, and Marriage Among African Americans and Latinos. Dr. Wilcox, welcome back.
It's good to be here today.
How do you explain the popular idea that fathers are really, except for maybe the paycheck, more or less superfluous to the lives of their children?
Todd, I think that there are really two issues that explain why the view that dads aren't really all that important is common in some circles today. I think one part of the story here is that we've seen obviously a dramatic family revolution since the 60s, where there's a lot more single motherhood today than there used to be. So people are kind of trying to sort of normalize that reality. And then I think we've also kind of seen a big push in recent years to embrace family diversity. And this is the idea that all families are equally valuable and that we can't kind of make a normative judgment about one kind of family being better than the other. And if you want to embrace this idea of family diversity, you can obviously not make the argument publicly that dads matter or that dads are distinctive.
You quote Yale psychiatrist Kyle Pruitt saying, "Fathers don't mother." What is Pruitt's case there?
Well, I think what Pruitt is arguing is that although moms and dads can and do often do a lot of the same things with their children, their approach to parenting, that is dad's approach to parenting, is typically distinctive. And the sort of the way that they are, their sort of their very being and the way in which they interact with their kids is distinctive. And so this is something that we should kind of recognize and see as a gift in the way in which we sort of look at and think about and feel about the way in which moms and dads interact with their kids.
So, Dr. Wilcox, how do fathers interact with their children in ways that mothers generally don't?
Dads do a couple of things that are distinctive when it comes to their kids' lives. One of those things is that they tend to, and this is obviously a more traditional point, but they still tend to bring the lion's share of money home to the household. And we can't, I think, minimize the importance of money. Money relates, obviously, to where you live, feeding your kids, affording things today like sports extras with your children. So, you know, dad's breadwinning role is still part of the story here. But in terms of the specific dynamics that dads engage with when it comes to interaction, they're more likely to engage in vigorous play with their kids. They're more likely to encourage their kids to embrace risks, embrace challenges, to be independent. And they're more likely to sort of have a sense of protection to be kind of protective towards their kids when it comes to threats to their well-being.
So let's talk about what we know regarding fathers' play and how it benefits children.
Both moms and dads play with their kids, as any kind of ordinary educated person will recognize. But dads tend to play in a distinctive way. They're more likely to engage in roughhousing. They're more likely to engage in exciting play, unpredictable play. And you kind of can think about this. If you go into the neighborhood park and look at how moms and dads interact with toddlers, you're more likely to see, for instance, with dads are kind of throwing their kids up in the air to squeals of delight, whereas moms are more likely to sort of be engaging in more modulated forms of interaction with their kids in a public park. So that's just kind of one example of how dads tend to play a more vigorous role when it comes to playing with their children. And this is actually pretty helpful for kids. The psychologist John Snary at Emory talked about this in terms of the roughhousing that dads do with their children. He said, quote, children who roughhouse with their fathers quickly learn that biting, kicking, and other forms of physical violence are not acceptable, unquote. And he and others have pointed out that this kind of rough physical play that kids do with their dads is linked also to better social outcomes in school. We know that kids are a bit more popular in school if they have an active, playful dad on the home front.
What about the encouragement of, within reason, risk and how that benefits children?
Yeah, again, here what we see in the research, both with toddlers and with adolescents, is dads are more likely to push their kids out of the nest. They're more likely to encourage their kids to do dangerous and difficult things, to embrace risks, to be independent. So the psychologist Daniel Paquette has said that, quote, fathers play a particularly important role in the development of children's openness to the world. They also tend to encourage children to take risks, while at the same time ensuring the latter's safety and security, thus permitting children to learn to be braver in unfamiliar situations, as well as to stand up for themselves, unquote. So kind of just to give you an example of what this looks like in practice, this professor looked at swim lessons for young children. And what he found was that moms tended to sort of hold their kids when they were learning to swim kind of face-to-face, whereas dads were much more likely to turn the child around and have the child sort of face out into the deep water. It's just kind of this older idea of sending the kids out into the deep is one that is kind of more likely to be practiced by a father compared to a mother.
What kind of protections does a father uniquely offer to children?
Well, I think part of the story here is simply a physical story, and that is that dads tend to be, on average, physically stronger and to be kind of more assertive in how they approach situations, and to have deeper voices as well. And so kind of like in a playground setting, or these days at a athletic event, or in some other kind of throughout late at night with your father for some reason on a darkened alley, just sort of having a father in the picture of him can be helpful in terms of promoting security. There's also a way in which I think, too, dad's presence is likely to sort of protect teenage boys, especially teenage girls, from others who don't have their best interests at heart. And we know, for instance, that teenage girls are much less likely to become sexually involved and to become pregnant if they have an active and engaged dad in life, sort of scanning the social environment, for boys who might not have their best interests at heart, and also kind of signaling to boys, young men, that they don't have to answer to him if they end up getting his daughter pregnant, for instance. So that's just one example of the way in which dads can be protective for their kids.
What do we know about the benefits of fatherly discipline?
Well, it's important, again, to sort of acknowledge here, and this is a point that both Kyle Pruitt and his wife, the psychologist Marcia Klein Pruitt, have made. Both moms and dads discipline their kids. And they also argue, I think, correctly, that the kind of discipline that moms and dads engage in is somewhat distinctive, and that both are helpful. So they argue that moms are more likely to kind of adjust kind of family rules to the needs of the child and to the particulars of the situation, to make accommodations sort of to bend the rules a little bit for their kids. And that can be obviously helpful and necessary, you know, when a child, for instance, is having a really bad day, for instance. By contrast, dads are more likely to be sticklers for family rules, to be inflexible, and to hold their kids to account when they break family rules. And more likely, too, to stand up to adolescents compared to moms when teenagers are acting out. From their perspective, this sort of difference that we see in moms and dads' discipline gives kids a feel for different forms of authority, both of which can be helpful. I mean, sort of maternal discipline can kind of give kids a sense of how to navigate in some ways like a very fluid social world, like within group projects in high school, for instance. By contrast, a dad's discipline can help kids learn to interact with more authoritative institutions and figures, like, for instance, the military. And so it's helpful for kids to have this sort of this exposure to sort of momly and dadly discipline.
What is the relationship between a father's involvement and problems like delinquency, teen pregnancy, and depression for their children?
I've said a lot in my life about the importance of having a father in the household. And there's no question that having a dad on teen is generally good for kids. What's important for people like myself, who sort of for father's presence, to also acknowledge that sort of it's the quality of the relationship between a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, that's also important. And research that I've published in The Atlantic shows that dads who are not just present, but emotionally engaged, who have better relationships with their kids, are the ones who are the least likely to have teens who are getting pregnant, engaging in delinquent activity, or who come across. So the point here simply is that it's not just a dad's presence that matters, it's the quality of his practical and emotional interactions with his kids. As we approach Father's Day this weekend, I think one important takeaway for dads is to really focus on being more emotionally present for their kids, more cheerful, more likely to give their kids words of affirmation that these things relate to the emotional ties to their teens, which have a tremendous impact on their emotional and social development.
We're talking about the importance of fathers. Dr. Brad Wilcox is our guest, professor of sociology at the University of Virginia. If you're a father of a child or children ages 5 through 9, I highly recommend The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June, Archbooks Treasury, Life of Jesus. It is 12 archbooks telling the story of Jesus from his birth to his resurrection, and they're all bound into one treasury. Archbooks Treasury, Life of Jesus is at our website, issuesetc.org. Call Concordia Publishing House and order one for children that you know, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We'll talk about the effect of a father's involvement and what role it plays in academic success and achievement next. You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. All paid registrants will have the ability to watch the conference live and on demand. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Unless we can deliver individual justice for a child in terms of defending their right to be known and loved by both mother and father, there's very little hope for this country.
And that's what the apostles did. They taught that the work of Jesus does not destroy the old creation unity of the one human race, but redeems it.
Giving cross-sex hormones to a patient with gender dysphoria and referring them for plastic surgery is the same as giving a patient with anorexia nervosa a strict diet and referring her for stomach stapling.
And just as any little child crawls into the lap of its father to show where his hurts are or to list his complaints, that's what our Lord invites us to do. So be honest in our prayers.
Next hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites, we'll play them for you in their entirety. And after you've heard them, you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We're talking about the importance of fathers. Our guest is Dr. Brad Wilcox, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Family Studies. Dr. Wilcox, if you would, talk about the effect that fathers' involvement plays on academic success in high school.
Now, what we see basically is that when it comes to sort of school performance, kids do better on when it comes to grades, when it comes to things like SATs, when dads are more positive, more emotionally engaged in positive ways with them. But where dads really matter is more kind of on the behavioral front, particularly for boys. And we see in the research is that teenage boys who have involved and active dads much more likely to successfully navigate high school without getting in trouble, without getting suspended, without getting thrown out of high school. So, you know, there's a real behavioral piece here that is closely connected to sort of how much dads are engaged with their kids.
Does that effect carry over to college?
So we know that about 75% of children who are graduating today from elite colleges come from intact married households. And that's striking because only about half of young adults today are generally coming from intact married households. So that's just suggestive of the ways in which coming from an intact married household with your father present tends to give kids a lift up or a leg up when it comes to the odds of attending and graduating from college, in this case, particularly from elite colleges. Now, why is that the case? Well, I think that's the case because when the father is present, kids are more likely to stay on track in school. They're not going to get in trouble, you know, in high school. And they're more likely to have this sense of self-worth and self-control that will allow them to get successfully through college. The other key point here to make, obviously, is money. And we know that dads are much more likely to devote money to tuition and fees and board for their kids when they're in the home living with their children and families intact.
How does fatherly involvement mitigate a parent's lack of education and that effect on the child's academic performance?
It's important to acknowledge that kids from lower income and less educated households, regardless of family structure, are less likely to attend and graduate from college. But it's also important to acknowledge that kids from low income and less educated households are more likely to graduate from college if they have, you know, both their parents, including their dad, you know, at home. So I guess one way to put this is just to sort of say that parents' education and parents' family structure both matter for kids' odds of graduating from college. But it is the case that when it comes to college per se, we see typically that parents' education is a bit stronger in predicting collegiate success than whether or not the father is in the household.
What is it that links paternal involvement to a child's college graduation?
Well, I think there are two things that really come to mind here in particular. One is that having a father involved, having a father express words of affirmation on a regular basis for his child can engender a sense of self-confidence in a child that gives her or him the motivation to persevere when it comes to homework and other things that are associated with succeeding in college. And I think another related point here, too, is that fathers tend to encourage
both explicitly and implicitly kids to, in some ways boys especially, to develop a sense of self-control over their emotions and their activities. And that sense of self-control can be very helpful in navigating all of the temptations of collegiate life and all of the distractions of collegiate life successfully.
Do fathers nowadays have more time to spend with their children compared to the past?
Well, we know that dads are more involved on a day-to-day basis, on a weekly basis with their kids than has ever been the case, at least in kind of American history, since we've been kind of measuring this question or this issue of dads' time with their kids. And, of course, the key qualifier, though, is provided that a father is living with his children. So the point to make here is that dads who live with their kids are much more involved with their kids than was the case for dads in the 60s, for instance, like in the 60s. So there's been a marked increase in paternal involvement, provided that dad is in the home.
We've been talking about a father's involvement really apart from family structure, but what kind of family structure is most likely to foster that kind of involvement?
So dads are most engaged when they are married to the mother of their children. So the intact, married, biological family is the one that's most conducive to dads being actively engaged in their kids' lives. At the same time, it's important to acknowledge that non-residential fathers are spending more time with their kids today than was the case in the 1970s, and it's particularly true for fathers who are divorced dads as compared to never married dads. So what we're seeing today is that divorced dads are a lot more likely to be practically and emotionally engaged in their kids' lives. You know, attending conferences with teachers, going to plays, athletic events, you know, doing all that they can to kind of stay connected to their kids. That kind of divorce dad is much more common today than it was in the 1970s when we first saw the rise of many divorced fathers on the American scene.
Finally, then, with Father's Day coming up, make the case to dads about the importance of their vocation.
Well, you know, I would say two things here. The first thing I would say is recognize that sort of what you do and more importantly, how you do it plays a crucial role in the social and emotional development of your kids. And also, it's really never too late to try to be more emotionally accessible, more emotionally engaged with your kids. And that effort you take will bear big dividends, both sort of now and in the future. The second thing that I would say is that I have seen among both scholars, journalists, and pop cultural figures this idea that kids can kind of make you miserable. And that idea has a lot of resonance in the pop culture. But what's interesting is that we're seeing today is that parents in America tend to be happier than non-parents. There's a lot happening there. But I think in this current world where a lot of people are living more isolated and electronics-driven lives, you know, spending a lot of time on their devices, having kids, especially today, kind of brings you out of yourself, connects you to others, oftentimes other parents, other members of the community, in ways that redound to your benefit. And that's because, as Aristotle told us, we are social animals. And, you know, for better or for worse, I think particularly in 2020, here in America, kids turn out to be one important vehicle for allowing us to connect to others, not just them, but you know, many others who kind of intersect with our kids, other parents, as I said, teachers, religious leaders, you know, soccer coaches, you know, and that's good for us as well, typically.
Dr. Brad Wilcox is professor of sociology at the University of Virginia, visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. He's senior fellow at the Institute for Family Studies and author of several books, including his latest, Soulmates, Religion, Sex, Love, and Marriage Among African Americans and Latinos. You'll find links to this book and to the Institute for Family Studies at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. Wilcox, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll talk about Terry Savelle Foy's claim that The Bible teaches us to use our imagination to create our ideal future. Pastor Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.